Take your Bibles, Luke 22. Let us stand together as we begin reading at verse 66. Stand if you're able, beginning at verse 66, Luke 22. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." And they said, then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own voice, a mouth." And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, may all that are here this day know thee as Savior. May they not only know you in their knowledge, but Lord, in their spiritual life. And may they have accepted thee as Savior. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jesus is being questioned once again as the Sanhedrin is searching diligently to find a reason to have Jesus put to death. He was a thorn in their side. He told them that they should love one another, where they wanted to beat each other up with the law. And so they wanted nothing to do with him. In verse 70, Jesus responds to the question, "Art thou then the Son of God?" by saying, "Ye say that I am, and I say to you, is Jesus the Son of God?" You must either accept that he is the Lord or that he is a lunatic. If he says he's the Son of God, he either is or he's a liar. So you must decide, is Jesus literally the Son of God, and is he the way of salvation? John, his cousin, said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." With the whole multitude arising, they lead him to Pilate. Now Pilate, we call him Pilate, his real name was Pontius Pilatus. And he was the fifth Roman representative or administrative agent of Judea. He governed from AD 26 through AD 36. And although Pilate was apparently convinced that Jesus was not guilty of the charges laid against him by the Jewish authorities, he weakly consented to the crucifixion rather than be confronted with the annoyance of the leaders threatening to instigate it if he refused. The events are rushing towards Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. Jesus has come to earth not so that we give Christmas gifts, but Jesus has come to die. He has come to be that lamb that would be slain for our sins. And we see here Jesus is at the fourth of his six trials. And may I say this, they were illegal trials. But six of them within about a 24-hour span. He was before Annas, he was before Caiaphas, he was before the Sanhedrin, and now he is before Pilate. Soon he would go to Herod and then back to Pilate, who would finally say that he should be crucified. and led him to Pilate. It's wrong when our political leaders don't have, what shall we say, the willingness to stand firm on what is right. We find it in today's society, not only amongst political leaders, we find it in churches. Churches that once proclaimed the Word of God today have become entertainment centers. We find that too many of them have gone astray. But the Jewish religious leaders don't just want Jesus dead, they wanted him humiliated by being hung on the cross. It was a way of bringing humiliation to a person. They would be stripped naked and put on a cross for all to see. It was like the person put in stocks. They would be laughed at and jeered at and mocked and sometimes even have fruit thrown at them. And here Jesus was to be crucified. The crucifixion would prove to the people that Jesus could not have been the Messiah because they reasoned that cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. How little they knew, though, that Jesus took God's curse on himself for all mankind. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. When Adam and Eve died, it brought death. Spiritual death was coming, but it also brought physical death as a sheep had to be slain because of their sin. And because of our sins, we will either die spiritually and physically, or Jesus Christ has died for us so that we can live spiritually for all eternity. Now, I'll be honest with you, I look forward to heaven. I look more every day to heaven than I did when I was younger. You say, well, why, Pastor Paul? Well, you know, as we get older, do we not hurt in places we didn't know we had? And we look forward to that time when there is no more pain. We look forward to the time in which we stop saying, what? Would you say that again? I look forward to the time in which I don't have to wear glasses. I look forward to being where I don't have stinking thinking. Do you ever have stinking thinking? You know, did you ever think about the fact that most of us get in trouble because we think something and then we say it? How often we'd better off keeping our mouth shut, right? But we find that Jesus died and was put on a cross for us. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us. There is no redemption outside of Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is the one in which will save us. If you would, keeping your place here, would you turn to John chapter 18? John chapter 18. The same period of events are being described here, except by John instead of Luke. We'll begin reading at verse 33. And Pilate is going to ask a question, what is truth? Do you believe that there is truth in our society today? Is there truth? Before we read there from John, let me make this statement. And I've said it before. We've even put it on the sign outside. May I say this, that the truth is the truth even if no one believes it. Do you hear what I said? The truth is the truth even if no one believes it. And a lie is a lie even if everyone believes it. And we have many lies that are being propagated today. I was reading an article in the Reader's Digest, and three times it talked about our evolution. Like we have evolved from some ape. Don't you find that discouraging to think that we would be like an ape or a monkey? Insulting, isn't it? Who's being insulted, the ape or us? But you know, you find that they throw out evolution and they try to tell you it's truth, and there is nothing that proves evolution. They have to falsify their teaching. They find a tooth and then they make a whole body out of a tooth. And then they usually find out the tooth was out of some pig that died a couple hundred years ago, and it isn't really millions of years old. They stretch the truth. And we find that truth is something that people don't want to believe. And one of the truths is this, that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. Too many people want to say, well, I'm okay. And if I do more good works than bad works, then God has to let me into heaven. Let me say this to you. You will not do more good works than bad works. You will not. It's impossible. Your mind is constantly thinking things that are wrong. We will thus never, never, ever do more good works than bad works. It's literally impossible. But we find here in John chapter 18, verse 33, John chapter 18, 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Let me start verse 37 again. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Truth. Is truth important to you? Have you ever broken something and then tried to hide it? And someone came up to you later and said, do you know how this got broken? Why would I know how that got broken? Did you lie? You know, people lie all the time. People get pulled over by the police, and the police say, do you know how fast you're driving? Well, not really, sir. How fast was I driving? You know how fast you were driving. We don't want to tell the truth, do we? You know, there are times in which we find that the truth makes us feel uncomfortable, but yet when you tell the truth, it's done. When you tell a lie, it just goes on. Usually you have to protect a lie, don't you? With what? Another lie. And then another lie. And then you have to remember all your what? Your lies, and you have to keep them in order. What is truth? Jesus came and gave us the truth. We find that Pilate took the easy way out. He decided it's Passover time. There are thousands of Jews in the streets of Jerusalem. And he didn't want to rock the boat. He didn't want a riot. He did not want a demonstration. He didn't want to lose his cushy position here far away from Rome, out here on the outskirts. And he could live pretty much the way he wanted. And he didn't want to be removed from office. So he's going to go along with the political leaders. After all, who is this Jesus? Who's going to miss this one if we allow him to be crucified? He's just another Jew. And he says, what is truth? Matthew 20, 28 tells us that Jesus is the Son of Man who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom. If you would, back to the book of Luke, chapter 18, Luke 18, verse 31. Luke 18, 31, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. and they shall scourge him and put him to death. Jesus told them, this is what's going to happen. I have come for a reason, and I am the ransom. I am the one that will deliver. I am the one who has come to be the Savior. Let me ask you a question about this America. What would George Washington think of the 2015 version of the United States of America? If George Washington were to walk in those back doors and walk down this aisle and stand up here and to give you just a few thoughts on what he has seen in America today, do you think he'd be pleased? What about John Adams, Nathan Hale, Patrick Henry, Paul Revere, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin? What do you think they would think of the lewdness in our country today? What would you think, what would they think of the vulgarity in today's world? What about our arrogance? You know, we think of what they did and what they sacrificed for this great country. What do you think they'd have to say? What do you think they'd have to say about our church services, where so many churches today don't use the Word of God or use it very sparingly? I think they'd be very disappointed. I think they'd say, we need to get back to the teachings of the Word of God. I think they would say, we need to stand fast. And if you would, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We need to stand fast on truth. And there is truth to be found in the Word of God. Unfortunately, too many people want to shun the Word of God. They want to blame Christians for being intolerant. But we need to realize that truth is truth no matter who's saying otherwise. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You know, I believe this, that we have become slaves to sin in our society. If I were to ask you right now, start naming some sins, start naming some things that we have become enslaved to. Immediately, I think of pornography. Some would say, well, that's freedom of speech. I don't believe that's what our forefathers meant when they talked about freedom of speech. Pornography is wrong in any form. Boy, I'm going to have to say amen myself. Pornography is wrong in any form. Amen, Pastor. I think you need to say that again. Pornography is a thing that has entrapped so many men and women today. How about the gambling places that we have in our world today? Now, my opinion is this. Only a fool goes to a place, a casino. You say, what did you say, Pastor Paul? I think only a fool goes to a casino. Who are the odds for? The casino. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you want to throw your money away, I'll open my pocket and you just put it right on in there. Okay? Now, you say, Pastor Paul, what about lottery tickets? Take that money and put it right here, folks. You know that those things get up to millions and millions of dollars? How did they get up there to millions and millions of dollars? Because people have been what? Losers. Oh, but it's entertainment. It's going to help the schools. Do you ever notice that everything is going to help the schools? I'll just move along. Yes. Were you saying something to me? Nothing helps? I'm just kidding. You threw me off track. I don't know where I was now. Schools, yes. Really, I wasn't going after schools. I was going after casinos and the lottery. Yes. But see, we have this idea that whatever we want to do is right because who's going to tell me it's wrong? What if the Bible tells you it's wrong? Is it right or wrong then? We realize what the Supreme Court has just said was legal. You show it to me from the Word of God. You show me anywhere in the Word of God that homosexuality is an okay or an alternative lifestyle. You show it to me. You can't find it. The law said that if a man slept with a man, he was to be taken out, they were to be taken out and stoned. Now, how do you find that God saying, well, it's all right if you be homosexuals? The book of Romans tells us that God gave them up for what type of mind? What was that? A reprobate mind. You read about it in the Old Testament, you find it was an abomination to God. An abomination. How do we go from abomination to it's okay? But you know what we find is today society doesn't want to believe truth. I've asked this question of a couple of men lately. I said, have you noticed there is something that we don't hear anything about today that used to be in the news all the time? You say, what, Pastor Paul? HIV and AIDS. When was the last time you heard about it? It used to be in the news all the time. You say, well, Pastor Paul, why is it in the news anymore? Because every time they bring it up, they bring up a lifestyle that is immoral. It's wrong. I was reading an article, and it was talking about the Wall Street Journal says that if things do not change, that in the next 10 years, 50% of all homosexuals will have AIDS or HIV. And do you hear about it today? No. Why? Because we don't want to believe the truth. We don't want to believe that there is a right way, that God created a man and a woman to be married together, and that is where sexual relationships are supposed to be. In the marriage between a husband and his wife, and a wife and her husband. Notice, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He has freed us from sin. And yet we want to stay close to the world. We don't want to be different. And that's why America is where it is today, because churches stopped being different. Stop being different. I'm going to get my assistant here. Come on down. He doesn't know what he's doing. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Wow. You do know what you're doing. It's just that you don't know exactly now what you're doing.
I don't know what's next.
You know what's next. Okay. I need Nathaniel. I want you to come on down here. Do you know what we're doing? No, that's two of them. Aren't you glad that I know what we're doing? Okay. I want you to stand right here. Don't face them. Face me. Face the cross. Very good. I want you to stand right there. Right there. Okay. They represent the church. I represent the world. Okay. Who do I represent? The world. The church. Put your hand on my shoulder. Now, this is what Christian said. As long as we're not right in the world, okay, we're okay. So start walking with me, okay? What is happening? The world is getting worse, and the church is what? The same distance from the world, but where? What has happened? The church was over there. You move up to where you're going, still going towards the cross. Where are we supposed to be? Over here, right? Over there? But too many churches are right here. They can say, we're still the same distance from the world. The problem is that they followed the world. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming up and representing the church. See, the thing is that the Lord has set us free. But we, as people, don't want to go straight ahead. We want to be just a little bit better. Notice what it says in Galatians 5, 1. And be not entangled with the yoke of bondage, pornography, immorality, drugs, alcohol. It is all entangling people today. We want to be able to do whatever we want, and we want God to say it's okay. But the fact of the matter is, it's not okay. Entangled means to be snared. It means to be confused. It means to be twisted. It means to be out of order. Paul writing says, don't be entangled. Don't go back into the yoke of bondage, captivity, slavery, enslavement. We put this in the bulletin a number of years ago, and I got it out. It was written by one Professor Alexander Titler. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence from bondage to spiritual faith. Now you think about America, we were literally in bondage to England, and through godly men and women, there was spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From great courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. Does that sound like America so far? We have more than you can imagine. From abundance to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependence. From dependence to bondage. Would you say that we're heading in the wrong direction? Many would say that the United States of America is between complacency, smug, satisfied, and apathy, unconcerned. How long before our nation's indifference to God and His teachings will lead us back to bondage? Shall we stand together? And as we have our time of invitation, I read to you once again, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. We all have our own thoughts on where we may be entangled and in bondage, but the Lord can set us free. The Lord can make us whole. The Lord can give us victory. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love. We thank you for patience. We thank you for second chances. We thank you for the mercy that you show us. And Lord, we pray now that you would bless this time of invitation where you touch hearts and you convict us to do that which is right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.